How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my God and my King, happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favour and honour. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. May your word live in us and bear much fruit to your glory.
There are lots of things that I like about this psalm. I think it's one of the ones that I get quoted most often. People are often quoting it to me as I hold the door open for them, or me for them. Better a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to live in the house of the wicked. David said it to me only the other day, I think. I love some of the images. Images of home and welcome. Images of trust and comfort. Images of sanctuary. It is a psalm for pilgrims, those who travel the journey of faith. We can imagine this psalm, this song, being sung by pilgrims travelling to Jerusalem. And pilgrimage is more than just travelling a journey. Pilgrimage combines that physical journey with spiritual exploration. The journey across the geography of this world also takes pilgrims further into questions of meaning and truth. The psalm also acknowledges that the journey of faith sometimes takes us through times of sadness and difficulty. But there is a confidence that despite that, that through those things, this journey is a journey home. Home towards God, home towards our true selves. I think it's also important to acknowledge that while the temple was important to those people, the people who sang that psalm and called it God's house, no one really thought that God was confined to the temple. Even at the dedication of the temple, Solomon proclaims, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even heaven and the highest heavens cannot contain you, much less this house I have built." They knew that the temple was not a place to hold God, but it is a place where God's people can be reminded of God's holding, hospitable, holy love. And the psalm contains many images and metaphors that point to the promise of God's presence in the temple as a place of sanctuary and safety. God is present in places of sanctuary and safety. There is a welcome there to those facing the dangers of the road. A welcome, a home for those who might not always be valued by those pilgrims. Even the sparrow finds a home. There the swallow finds a nest. And Solomon too, at the dedication of the temple, expresses a hope, indeed offers a vision that this will be a place where even foreigners may call on God, where even foreigners may find God and know God. God is at home wherever the vulnerable and the outsiders are welcomed. God is at home where sanctuary is offered to those who are finding the world a difficult and threatening place. We can find sanctuary in this place, for we do know the presence of God here. And when we leave here and find ways to offer sanctuary to others through our lives and our lifestyles, through our friendship and our service, through our votes and our advocacy, when we leave here and find ways to offer sanctuary to others, then we know that in those places too, God is at home. God is present. There too we are in God's house. And so I wonder those times when we hold the door open for those leaving the building and jokingly say, better a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Do we think we are saying farewell to God's house? Or is it then, when we leave this place, that we're really walking into the house of God? Let us pause and reflect with a poem, a prayer. Beyond the terrors of the world we face and cause, there is sanctuary. O love, may we be that sanctuary in the world. May we be the humanity that shapes the world's justice. May we be the compassion that is the patience of the world. May we be the grace that consumes the pain. May we be sanctuary. And when we are not, forgive us and call us anew. Here is your sanctuary, your place of welcome to the stranger, the asylum seeker, the forgotten of the world, the wounded of the world. May we be sanctuary, the voices that speak the name of those forgotten, the welcome that provides a companion to the lost, the pause that lets the journey draw breath. May we be sanctuary's hosts. And when we are not, forgive us and call us anew. Cover the desert paths with pools of grace. Flood the dry places with springs of hope, that all people may know your presence and live in your blessing. May we be sanctuary, O God. I'm listening to the birds. Can you hear them? Seem most appropriate. This is a place where we can recall God's presence and God's hospitable holy love. And we remind ourselves of it in the stories of our tradition. We remember it in the experiences we've had, in moments of care from others, in times of unexpected grace. And we recreate that presence in our life together, in our rituals of worship, in our community life together. And reminded and renewed, we can leave here with that sense of home that is something we want to share with our family and our friends and with others too. Jesus picks up the idea of God's hospitable holding love, especially in John's Gospel. The concept of abiding, staying with, remaining with is one that Jesus uses many times in John's Gospel. It speaks of a permanent relationship, a permanent connection. It's not temporary or sporadic, but a permanent way that the source of life is available to those who want it. And Jesus had already identified himself, his body, with the temple, with the presence of God, when he challenged the religious systems and overturned the table in the temples. Last week he spoke of his flesh. We commented on how the rather grotesque image of eating flesh is mixed with that of Jesus as the living bread. Jesus identified his flesh and blood life, his way of being flesh and blood in this world, with how we find life. We discover God's hospitable love in Jesus when we believe in Jesus, trust in Jesus, share in Jesus' flesh and blood life. The imagery continues this week. So let's go on and hear the start of today's gospel reading.
I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?"
This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? It begins, perhaps, with what drew us to Jesus in the first place. So I invite you to reflect on what draws you to Jesus, to a place where you hear this teaching. Reflect on it as we listen to this poem by Jenny Gordon. I saw you at the wedding turning water into wine, and I thought, good trick, real slick. So I followed you to the well, where you met that wandering woman, and I heard you transform her with words, living water, holy daughter. So I followed you to the pool, where one man lay for all his years, and you, with little Sabbath time to talk, told him, just get up and walk. So I followed you to the hillside, where you fed the multitudes with broken bread, and there was more than they could eat, remnants gathered at your feet. And so I followed you till now. Till now. You talk of dying so that all can take you in and feast upon your spirit. That's what I hear you say. Many others have turned back, and will you also turn away? For in order to receive, you must be open to believe. No more watching from the side. No more crowds in which to hide. Like the water and the woman and the man beside the pool, I am turning, churning, changing, death transcending, old life ending, apprentice to a deeper point of view. Pull my chair up at your table, and I will follow you. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Sometimes the journey of life is hard. We are rejected or even betrayed by people we trusted. Our longed-for dreams remain out of reach. Our hard work and struggles are not rewarded. Grief overwhelms us as someone we love dies. Illness or disability restricts our lives. Certainly, for some people, it is personal tragedy and the sense of abandonment that can lead them to walk away from the life of faith. And yet, for those of us who stay, we know we are not abandoned. Even in our loneliest moments, companions come to walk with us, to carry us, bringing us to that place of sanctuary where we can rest again in the love that never lets us go. For others, it's not their personal difficulties that cause them to turn away. I think it is a realisation that the personal faith that they have, the personal assurance they have, is not where it ends. It's the realisation that the journey of faith is not just about them, not just even about them and God. The journey of faith is about realising that that love and care is offered to others as well, and it is offered through our lives. Sometimes the teaching, the learning is hard. We need to learn what brings real meaning to our lives, the values and attitudes, the ways of thinking and living that bring good news into our lives and allows us to be good news for others. Forgiveness, compassion, justice, generosity, gratitude, a genuine desire to work for the well-being of others, experiencing and exhibiting holy hospitality. Being sanctuary in the world. "Do you also wish to go away?" Jesus asks us. "Or will you stay?" Stay and share the bread of life that's offered to you. Stay and share the bread of life with all who need it. Believing, trusting in the Word made flesh who lives amongst us, the Holy One of God.